Look, why don't we stick to AIDS education a day and retail tomorrow?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 21. Everybody's talking about it. What's it? Let's find out. I bet it's AIDS. And now here are your hosts, Tara Arrieto and Sarah D. Bunting.
Speaking of AIDS, before we get into it, I just want to remind you, you can buy ads on this podcast.
Oh, Tara.
Worst segue ever, but it's true. You can you can purchase an ad, $50 for a personal message and $100 for a commercial message. And you can send us copy that you want us to do. You can tell us to go ahead and do what we want.
Yeah, listen to the start of 220.
Yep.
That's our first personal ad.
Indeed. So, yeah, get on that. And speaking of getting on that, hey, Sarah, let's talk about sex.
Again.
I just can't stop. So this episode really just has one plot line that sort of goes through the whole thing. So let's just get into it. A/only story, teen sex panic. Here's what's happening. The school has been conducting a sex survey of the students. A lot of religious weirdos have been protesting it so much, in fact, that there has actually been TV coverage of it. And as we open the episode, John and Andrea are on camera. Brandon is also present, but he's blocked by a sign.
We should note that John is Fluff Mullet.
Yes, John Griffin equals Fluff Mullet, which you will know from his mulletiness in the visual aids. But Dylan can't help needling Brandon about how he didn't make it onto camera in clip number two.
How come I don't see your bones up there, Squeef?
Squeef will not die.
Squeef.
Squeef. Thank God.
The parents go to bed. The kids stay to discuss it a little bit. And by discuss it, I mean Dylan and Brenda start totally making out on the couch with Andrea and Brandon like inches away, like so close. It's so weird. I had to make a gif of it. It's in the visual aids. Not
and
a probes.
And then they just don't leave the room.
Yes.
Just leave the room.
Yeah. They just sit there like, well, this is awkward. Like, no, this is awkward because you're not leaving.
Yeah. Exactly. Now it is.
Right. Anyway, the next day, Dylan and Donna are getting cozy in the DJ booth. Kelly is still opposed.
Dylan and Donna are getting cozy in the DJ booth?
Sorry, David and Donna.
Don't be such a squeef.
Sometimes I get confused by my own abbreviations.
Well, it's the credits.
Yeah.
I mean, they make it really
also, Tara's dumb.
Ambiguous.
It's late on a Friday as we record this. It's much later than we normally do this.
It's 12:23 p.m. for us, Tara.
It's late. That's late if you got up 8 hours ago, just saying. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse. I'm dumb. Kelly is still opposed to Jackie and Mel getting together, obviously. And meanwhile, John is at the Blaze office trying to volunteer for everything there is to volunteer for. Andrea is not enjoying his keenness for some reason, maybe because she finds it competitive with her own. And then Mrs. Teasley comes in because she has bad news. And when we cut to the next scene, we find out what it is because Andrea is flipping shit. The survey has been canceled. John, Fluff Mullet, very, very supportive in clip number three.
They're hypocrites. That's all there is to it.
Two-faced ignoramuses. Or is it ignorami?
No, what it is a travesty. It's a triumph of ignorance over knowledge.
That's good. You should put that in your editorial.
This is the tragedy of this pairing. Spoiler alert, he has a crush on her. It's extremely obvious. And I think the reason that she is not have a crush on him is that he reminds her too much of herself. Perhaps. Because turning this around to like what she should say in her editorial is such an Andrea moment, in as we've seen in several recent episodes, like, oh, are you interviewing her? No, we're just hanging out, weirdo. Sometimes people do things socially. Anyway, John is boy Andrea is my point.
Yeah, that's one theory. The other theory is that since he's actually into her that way, she can't be interested because Brandon.
Well,
and high
yes,
school.
That too, of course. So Steve is mad that he did not get out of some of his schoolwork to do this survey. John is very proud that Andrea yelled at Mrs. Teasley, which happened off camera, or off screen rather, probably because it's impossible to imagine. And Donna knows one person who's not going to be bummed about this, and clip number four.
Well, my mom will be happy. She doesn't think they should ask kids about sex because it might give them ideas.
Donna, doesn't your mom read the newspaper? There were 1 million teenage pregnancies in this country last year. Every year, 3 million teenagers contract sexually transmitted diseases. That is not because of any survey.
Audrey, settle down.
No, people are dying, Brandon. More Americans have died from the AIDS virus than were killed in the Vietnam and Korean Wars combined. More are going to die in the next 2 years than in the 10 years since the virus was discovered. How can people ignore this problem?
Thank you for all of that, Statisticon.
Yeah, that happens a bunch of times. Like, this was and is an important issue.
Absolutely.
It's really, like, poorly packaged, I would say, to sound natural is A. And B, it's difficult to even listen to what Andrea has to say in this scene because I was so blinded by fucking rage at Brandon telling her to settle down
in those words. Fuck you. Yay. How about that? He continues to be terrible through this episode, by the way. For those of you who hate
so
Brandon,
terrible.
You're going to love this one. So at the end of the scene, Andrea says she has an idea to make them listen. And we cut to Andrea and John Fluff Mullet waiting to address the school board. She is in a terrible blouse. It's the return of Ruff Laura, as Sarah called it, for the visual aids. It's the kind of thing, and when I saw it, I was like, oh, God, that's so ugly. And Jody L. definitely had that shirt, and I totally borrowed it, because I did. So Andrea's proposal is that the school board adopt a plan to make condoms available to West Beverly High students. One member moves, a person named Sheila in amazing contrasty prints seconds the motion, and Andrea gloats in a not very gracious fashion. And then when we next see John and Andrea, they are at the Peach Pit, and David is in a blouse that's even uglier than Andrea's, which you can see in the visual aids. Brandon is gross. Actually, all of this is gross, so let's just start with clip number five.
So when does this new program start?
Well, it's only on the table at this point. Not everybody in the Parents Association is going to go for it.
Yeah, you want me to talk to him for you?
You're the expert on that, you jungle stud.
Ah! My ears! Not appropriate.
My God. Not how you talk to your boss or anyone else.
No, definitely not.
Jungle stud? What does that even mean?
I don't know.
You know what? Let's not dwell.
I mean, I have theories, but they're not appropriate for air. It goes on into clip number six.
Thanks for being so supportive, Nat.
Don't mention it. Of course. If it were my daughter, I'd lock her in the closet till she was 35.
Okay, that sound at the end of the clip was Andrea laughing at Nate's comment, or Nat's comment, which I'm going to go ahead and call rape culture on that. That's not something she should be laughing in approval of. I know he's old and an adult, but why isn't she trying to educate him?
Also, well, but why should she? Because she already is 35, so she'd have been let out by now.
True.
Oh God, I'm so tired. Okay, sorry.
So Donna tells us again about her mom and how she wants to keep her, you know, from having any kind of sexual contact of any sort. Someone suggests that Donna just not tell her about this meeting that's coming up, but Donna says there's no way that she would skip it. She's in the Parents Association. She also really wants to meet Cindy. And then we're at this meeting. All the parents that we know are arriving. Jackie and Felice, who've presumably have known each other forever. I love the detail of how they greet each other with like the cheek presses, and they're both so phony. It's clear neither of them likes the other, but they are very cordial in the super phony way, which is great. And Felice knows Andrea's name as the rabble rouser. And Andrea is, in this case, adorably proud of being notorious to Felice Martin, which is great. And then some dad named Bill Sloan is mad that the kids are staying. And we find out why, because he's a total psycho, and starts a screaming fight with Mel about sexual instruction at home versus at school and what tax dollars should be paying for. And then Felice takes the floor and we hear the beginning of her speech in clip number 7.
Dr. Martin would have liked to have been here tonight, but unfortunately he's at a medical conference addressing his colleagues on this very subject, in fact. And I'm sure he'd be a lot better at this than me, but what he would have said to all of you is this. Year after year, the experts have been telling us that condoms are the most effective way to prevent the spread of AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases. And yet, year after year, more people are getting sick. More people are dying. Children are dying. It's very clear there's a lot we don't know about this disease. It's clear something is not working. I submit condoms aren't the answer.
Let's go right into clip number 8, and then we can discuss both of them.
They work when people use them right. Not always.
Ooh, callback.
Hey.
Yeah. I just want to give a shout out to the writers of this episode, because Felice is note perfect. She is exactly this character, and the performance as well, but like, the way she's written, she's obviously super smart, very educated, and really conservative, but knows how to get her message across in a way that doesn't seem like she's being too strident or unreasonable or crazy. Like, she just is exactly walking the line of that position that makes it seem reasonable until you stop and are like, oh, wait, that's really irresponsible, actually.
Yeah, it's that Dick Cheney, like, she's so confident and gentle in the way that she states these things, and almost, I mean, avuncular is not the right word for her, but right. Catherine Cannon does have that delivery down. I will note, I think she's cold to Jackie because of the fashion show incident.
Oh, yeah,
but
of course.
That happened to a totally different Felice, right. So I don't know why she's all bent out of shape.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
isn't Dr. Martin a cardiologist?
I think so. Yes.
So unless you get, like, gonorrhea in your heart, how is he addressing a conference on this very subject?
I don't know.
Unless the conference is, I don't know, being cuckolded. Spoiler.
Yeah. I mean, I assume that Felice would have been running in the same circles as Jackie for like the entire time that Kelly and Donna have known each other, and that she's Jackie in her earlier partying days, like pre the start of the show, even before the fashion show, already would have had lots of reasons to be disapproving of her. But yes, definitely,
yeah, although,
the fashion
I mean,
show.
Donna in her entirety, like her whole family and everything has been completely like reimagined since season one, when
True.
She's like having parties, drinking, implying that she's boned a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
So.
Totally. Yep. You're right. So Felice's speech goes on. She goes hard for abstinence, and we hear that in clip number 9.
I'm tired of kids being told, well, you really shouldn't have sex, but if you do, nod, nod, wink, wink, here's a condom, go have fun. No. No, we owe our children more than a mixed message.
She does have a point.
Does she?
No, she... No.
No, that's my
she
point.
She doesn't.
Shut up,
and
Brandon.
And if I thought she had a point, once you pointed out that she had a point, that ruined it. So shut up, Brandon.
She lost that point. Subtract a point from Felice.
Yeah, don't help.
So everyone is upset. Steve tells Andrea to say something, but then Donna does in clip number 10.
And if they don't listen, which a lot of them won't, do you just shrug and say, well, I told you so? Donna, I'm sorry, Mom, but...
What is this, a student council meeting?
Bill, I'd like to hear what Donna has to say.
Rhubarb, rhubarb.
Oh, gosh. Andre, go ahead. No,
come on,
go
Donna.
Ahead.
Yeah, come on, Donna. Go ahead.
Shut up, Brandon.
It's just, if you say that kids don't need condoms because they shouldn't be having sex in the first place, well, you're overlooking two very important things. One is that a lot of kids are having sex, and the other is that they are kids. I mean, it's like if you have a swimming pool in your backyard, you can tell your children not to go in it. You can even build a fence around it. But if you know that they're going to find a way into that water, don't you think you ought to teach those kids how to swim?
She has a point. I mean, that's a very good analogy. And I would just also like to say,
yeah.
The fence that you build around the pool of sexuality in this analogy is Andrea's entire wardrobe. The worst. Anyway, Felice is horrified, of course. I wish we got to see her reaction, like, when the two of them are alone. We don't, alas. Instead,
yeah, like, driving home.
Yes, completely. I would love to see it, but we don't. Instead, we get to see the Walshes discuss what they thought of the meeting. Jim defends Bill Sloan, the guy that Mel was yelling at, who he knows from racquetball, because it's the 90s. Cindy says it's hard for some people to talk with their kids about sex. And
I'm sorry.
Well, let's get into it. Let's just play clip number 11.
I thought David's dad was going to knock out that Sloan guy.
Yeah, well, he would have deserved it.
Hey, I know Bill Sloan from racquetball, and he's a good guy, and he's a very caring father.
Well, if you're so worried about his son getting his hands on a condom, why doesn't you just have a little talk with him?
Honey, it's hard for some people to talk with their kids about sex.
It wasn't hard for you guys.
Speak for yourself,
bro. No, I'm serious. Remember the time Cheryl came out from Minnesota and we... well, maybe...
I just love that at the end of that, like, Jason Priestley is not saying words. Like, it's just making syllable noises. However, this also ends with Jim giving him this, like, this gross, smug look, like, yeah, you got some, which, anyway, whatever. But I like that the scene actually shines a spotlight, which it rarely does, on, like, the differences between how the Walshes treat the children, because it is a big, big difference, especially in this arena.
Yeah, sure is.
Then Brenda goes on to mention how much the talk of sexuality has come into the mainstream since Magic Johnson announced that he has HIV, because it's the 90s. Cindy and Brenda pretend that they believe abstinence is pretend they act like they think abstinence is a reasonable philosophy. No one actually does. Moving on. At school the next day, David asks Brandon and Steve about what Donna said at the meeting because he wasn't there, and pops a tiny boner at how she was openly talking about sex in front of people. He asks if they think that he should make a move on Donna, and they just say she's probably thought about boning him too, but don't actually answer whether he should or not. And David then asks Steve how soon it'll be before they get condoms at school, and Steve tells him to go to a drugstore. It's like, seriously, go to a drugstore. and then we're outside the Blaze office. Andrea's being interviewed for the news about the condom proposal, and Mrs. Teasley comes to get Brandon, and the second grossest Brandon speech of the or moment of the episode happens in clip number 12.
Of course she's entitled to speak her own mind, but being interviewed on campus without clearing it first puts me in a very awkward position. And now she's insisting that the Blaze do its own sex survey and all sorts of unrealistic demands.
Well, you know, Andrea, she just gets real passionate about the issues.
Well, perhaps you can help her tone down some of that passion. The last thing any of us want to see is her jeopardize her position as editor on the paper.
I'll talk to her.
Gross.
No.
First of all,
talk to her.
Yes. First of all, why is Mrs. Teasley putting this responsibility on Brandon instead of addressing her directly as a representative of the school? Also, why isn't Brandon telling Mrs. Teasley that she should do that rather than taking on that responsibility himself? I mean, I know the reason. It's because he fucking loves that shit, but it should not happen.
No, really shouldn't.
Moving on. We agree. The Taylor and Silver families go out for sushi because it's the 90s. Jackie complains that hers smells really weird. There's a second reference to her having an upset stomach, the first being at the parents' meeting. Jackie is very, talks about safety and, you know, is very sex positive about it and how she tried to make sure that Kelly was on birth control as soon as she was able to be. And then Mel Silver decides to be gross in clip 13.
It's so much easier with a boy. You just give him a copy of Playboy and say, good luck.
How's that working out for you?
I'm speechless. It's so horrible. I mean, I can't keep saying rape culture, but Jesus Christ, like, that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
No.
And then he kind of gets me back a little bit as the scene goes on in clip 14.
It's not just about birth control anymore. It's really about disease prevention. I mean, it's a completely different world than when we were young.
Yeah. In our day, we had to walk 10 miles through the snow just to get to a love-in.
It's a little bit funny. I'm sorry.
Dad jokes. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Team Mel anyway. He's just totally like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I knew enough dads like this that I'm sort of fond of him, even though he's like a, whatever, kind of a weirdo.
Yeah, fair enough. The next day,
and even Kelly, Jenny Garth has this cute little moment where she's like, Kelly is trying not to think that's funny, but then she smirks in spite of herself.
Yes, that is cute. So the next day at school, David tells Steve the story of how awkward it was for him to go and buy condoms. And apparently he got one of every single kind they had at the drugstore and offers some to Steve. Steve's like, I'm good. And then Kelly comes to yell at...
Wait, so like a royal sampler pack?
Basically.
Yeah, okay.
Kelly then comes to yell at Brandon about the Blaze's personal sex journals. He just says her name came up. She doesn't want to do it. Neither do Dylan or Donna. And but that's not the limit of Andrea's response to the school board shutting down sex education. And we hear about that in clip 15.
Andrea's trying to round up some people to write about some personal experiences. That's all.
Some personal sexual experiences. For the school newspaper of all things, I'd rather die.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that either.
Yeah, man, it goes for me too, bro. Scratch my name off that list.
Yeah, I hear you. Look, I'll tell Andrea you said no, okay?
Andrea Zuckerman doesn't always take no for an answer. Now she actually wants us to go and hand out condoms on the street.
She wants us to do what?
Oh, God. So then, I don't know why I said the second.
I mean, I would just like to note also that Kelly's like, outsized reactions to everything that Andrea is like trying to do or suggesting they do are kind of out of character. And I know they had to have someone be this person, but why did it have to be Kelly? It just doesn't make any sense. Like, there's a perfectly good, obnoxious Dylan right there. Use him.
Totally.
Anyway, and the worst, let's get to the upcoming complete horror that made me want to stab total strangers.
Yep. Let's go. Okay, so Brandon comes into the Blaze office, loaded for bear, doing his cockiest cock walk that he has. There's some whole convoluted business about Fluff Mullet's uncle and how he runs a theater group that does AIDS education like playlets, and then they hand out info. It doesn't matter. There's some kind of crazy nonsense. Brandon is mad that he's getting jammed out of this as a member of the Blaze editorial board, whereas I didn't hear any of this being part of the Blaze at all, so whatever. And then he takes Andrea out to the hall to lecture her, and let's hear that in this very long but extremely necessary clip 16.
Andrea, why are you so obsessed about this? You told me the school board is going to vote 3-2 in favor of your proposal.
My sources definitely think they're going to postpone the vote. If they do, this gives us something to bargain with.
What do you mean?
In Massachusetts, some kids took action on their own. Of course, they were handing out condoms, but the school board sat down and negotiated with them. Besides, it's for a good cause. It's a community service project whose sole purpose is to educate kids about AIDS and safer sex.
Andrea, I'm not knocking the project. It's the protocol. I should have been asked about this, not told.
I'm sorry, Brandon, you're never around anymore.
Hey, I was working. I have a job, remember?
I know, but this thing has momentum. It has got a life of its own.
Maybe you should get a life of your own before it's too late.
What?
Excuse me?
You know, sometimes you get so caught up in your quest to save the world, you don't see that you're alienating people.
Like who?
Just trust me on this, okay? The only people who ever respond to these in-your-face tactics are already on your side.
I know what this is about. You're jealous.
Jealous?
Yes. You can't stand it that John Griffin got on TV and you didn't. And now you resent me because I'm in the spotlight.
So I got it all figured out, huh? You got me all figured out. Everything in the world is black and white, cut and dry. Well, let me tell you something, it isn't. Not with me, and not with an issue like having condoms in school.
I'm sorry, you're wrong. The statistics are black and white. There are proven facts. People just don't want to admit it.
And what you don't want to admit is that you don't know that much about the other part of it. The part that doesn't show up in statistics or surveys.
And what, pray tell, is that?
The feelings. The sex. Andrea, if you had a little more experience, you'd know that love is not a public health issue.
Thanks for bringing that to my attention.
Andrea.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong.
That was way harsh, Ty.
Brandon has had sex one more time than Andrea has. Is that accurate?
I'm not sure what happened on the hood of his car, but probably.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I will stipulate. I think that we're not supposed to think that he and Emily actually did bone when they were high, because when she comes in the next episode and says, if we had sex, you wouldn't want to break up with me.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
That made me think that would have been the first time.
And he hasn't boned any of his other patronizees, right?
No, he didn't have sex with Carla or Trisha or Lydia. Who else have there been? God, there have been a lot. Or maybe he did the one at the beach club who was also having sex with a married man. But that, I think they just kissed.
I don't think so.
I think they only kissed. So
yeah, I think that's right.
Even if he had had sex with 500 people, it wouldn't matter. Like, this is still...
And by sex, you mean bone.
I do mean bone. Yes. If he had put his thing into someone else's thing. Yeah. Fuck off, Brandon. You're turning this... I have in my notes, they have four different fights, and that actually might be low. Like, he keeps changing the topic of what they're actually arguing about. And like, love doesn't have anything to do with this. Love isn't a public sex issue, but everything else you're talking about is, so fucking stow it.
Yeah, like, I don't think you need to have any experience to know how condoms work or don't work, or how AIDS is transmitted, or how people in your peer group generally behave when things are forbidden, et cetera, and so on. Mm-hmm. I think he is jealous of Fluff Mullet. Mm-hmm.
And is just a bad person.
Mostly, like, he just saw this glowing opportunity to shit on someone else who knows less than he does about anything. So
yeah. And Mrs. Teasley, I hate to say, partly empowered him to do it by being like, could you talk to her?
Yeah, no, she totally did. No. Not that he wouldn't have done it himself, but ugh.
Totally true, but yeah, no. Terrible. No to everyone in this scenario. So later, Brenda tells Brandon he was wrong in this fight with Andrea. Thank God someone does.
At length.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, his shirt is too unbuttoned. You can see his tiny sprig of chest hair in the visual aids with some arrows pointing to it. Sorry. Brenda offers to smooth things over with Andrea, but he says he will deal with it. And when we next see Andrea, she is shuffling virginly past Donna and David being all schmoopy in the hall.
She is so sulky for so long.
This is like 2/3, not even. This is like totally. So
only on this Beverly Hills 90210 podcast can you get both the Peanut sad music and the Flintstone sad music.
Yep.
That's the quality we deliver.
You can also see what shuffling virginly looks like in the visual aids because I made a GIF.
Can you run that through the Benny Hillifier? We'll speed it up and play Yakety Sax over it if we want.
Yeah. Sure. So she's after she's past them, she runs into John in the hall, and he is pushy and oblivious about how uncomfortable she is as he tells her that they just got in their first sex diary. Can't wait for her to hear all about it. Clip 17, the spread eagle.
It's called Okay, So I'm a Virgin. You like the title?
No.
John, I gotta go.
Burn. So Brandon and Steve watch Andrea race into the ladies' room, where she runs into Brenda and Kelly, who are in there primping. Kelly makes sure to tell Andrea, in case she didn't hear it from Brandon, that she is definitely not doing a sex diary. And Andrea's like, fine, I don't care. And after Kelly has left, Brenda is nice to Andrea and says she's still writing her piece. But Andrea is in a state, and we get an update on the clock. The vote is tonight. So they can celebrate afterwards. And then after she comes out of the bathroom, Brandon is lurking in wait for her and her shoulder pads. And she is not in a mood to listen to him. So he tells her that he respects her efforts and he'd like to take back some of the things he said. He can't go to the meeting because he has to work tonight. He wishes her luck. He knows she worked hard for this. She doesn't say anything to any of this. And finally, get clip 18.
Listen, by yesterday, I'm sorry.
Oh, you can't say it.
I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
You know, it was bad enough being reminded how inexperienced I am. But hearing you apologize for it
It's even worse.
Can't really have anything to add to that except fuck off, Brandon. He's like the champion of not saying sorry. So the fact that he finally gets around to it, like, it seems like he needs a parade just for having said it. Like, how about not being an asshole in the first place? Maybe try that someday.
Yeah. And also, you're not sorry. You're sorry that she's mad and that she's sulking so much that her, like, lower lip is pushed out so far that she needed a permit for it.
Yes.
But you're not actually sorry.
I mean, you're sorry that she's making such a show of being upset with you that other people are noticing and maybe thinking for a second that you might not be such a good guy like you think you are, but that's not the same thing.
Boo. Yeah, no, it's really not.
Then it's the school board vote. When it comes up to Sheila Manners to break the tie, since she was the one who seconded the motion in the first place, everyone's pretty sure it's going to vote. And instead, she breaks the tie in the negative while locking eyes with Felice Martin. All of the conservative parents in attendance applaud. Felice preens. And afterwards, we get a little bit of the backstory in clip 19.
Sheila Manners and Donna's mom are best friends.
I don't know, Brandon. I never really believed what she was saying, that handing out condoms could encourage casual sex.
Which is like saying seatbelts might encourage people to drive cars.
Well, don't worry. If we need them, we can always get some seatbelts from David Silver.
This all makes me so depressed. What good does that do? I mean, we can't just roll over and play dead because of one measly vote.
Donna's right. We should set up a picket line in front of the Board of Education.
No. You know your uncle is a psychologist? We should help his group pass out those informational packets on safer sex.
Yeah, I'd do that in a minute.
I don't know about Kelly, but maybe it's something that Dylan might want to be involved with.
I bet a lot of people would want to do that with us.
And I bet we could get the media to cover it.
What do you think, Chief?
I don't know. Why don't you guys coordinate it with John? I'll see you later.
She's taking this hard.
What do you expect? She really felt it was important. No, what she felt was important was having a forum to discuss the issues. Now, just because there's no vote pending doesn't mean that we have to stop making ourselves be heard in a mature and dignified way.
So what kind of ID do you need to rent a hotel room?
Ironic cut alert. That was David asking Dylan at the Peach Pit in a new scene about the hotel because he heard from Donna who was told by Brenda that the two of them had gotten a hotel room during the spring dance. Dylan is upset that he's indirectly kissed and told, because we all know that's not his thing. So Dylan tells David to forget it, which I'm sure he will not. And then Dylan goes to pick up Brenda. She's not ready to go wherever they're going. So he picks up a notebook off her desk and a fight ensues in clip 20.
What's this, Brent?
Oh, it's for the Blaze, the special edition.
Like hell it is. As often as you read about girls who become pregnant unintentionally, you cannot imagine the feelings until you believe you are in the situation yourself. You were going to print that?
I am going to print it.
I don't kiss and tell. I don't talk about my conquests in the locker room.
Dylan, I know you don't. Look, I'm not saying anything that's untrue or even embarrassing.
No, it's not embarrassing, but it's very personal to me, and you are not going to print it.
Dylan, come on. I mean, I can just redo it. It's not as if I don't remember what I wrote.
I wish you'd forget it.
Dylan, wait a second. Are you leaving?
Are you going to go ahead with this?
Dylan.
Good night, Brad.
This is some Brandon shit. It's really weird how crazily mad he gets immediately. He also rips the paper out of her notebook, which, again, that's some Brandon shit.
Yeah. Also, don't be reading it. Like, I know you're going out, but maybe ask. And Is there some reason that she can't just put another name on it?
Right. I mean, this comes up in the next clip, too. But I'm shocked that all of these sex diaries are not anonymous, personally. But anyway, he storms out. Downstairs, she says she won't go through with it if he feels this strongly. And she just doesn't get why he is so upset. And she tries to explain her side of things in clip 21.
Dylan, I was only writing that piece because I think there's a need for it. I was scared to death when I thought I was pregnant. It would help me so much to have known that there was someone else out there our age who had been through it.
You wrote about something very personal that I was involved in for the whole school to read. You didn't even ask me how I felt.
I'm sorry I didn't see it that way.
Yeah. You have good intentions, Brent. But right now, I need to keep my private life very, very private. I thought you knew that.
Dylan, I was writing about me. About my feelings.
They're gonna know who the guy is, Bren. How many boyfriends have you had at West Beverly?
One. And I'd like to keep it that way.
Again, just don't, like, publish it anonymously. Who cares?
Change your name to Wanda Frisch. Nobody, whatever. Nobody's going to read it except the parents. And they'll never know who it is.
A lot of parents do read The Blaze, Sarah. That's the end of the fight. And the next day when we see them, he is very happily sniffing the perfume that he got her on her neck and stuff. So I don't know, whatever. David rolls up. Thanks, Dylan, for the advice. And then he realizes that having sex with Donna is all about timing. He has to wait until he gets his driver's license, I guess, so they can bone in the back.
Bone.
Donna and her incredibly hideous jacket, see the visual aids, rolls up. She tells David that her parents are out of town so he can watch the MTV special at her place. I really wish I knew what it was, but they don't go into more details. And David decides the timing is working out for him after all. And then in the Blaze office, John is briefing volunteers for this info pack project. And Brenda comes in to tell Andrea that she changed her mind about writing the sex diary. Andrea has even more lost her fire than she had the day before and says she gets it. And Brenda continues explaining about Dylan, like, as if Andrea cares. And Andrea says she's not even sure if she's going to do it anymore. And Kelly is embarrassed about this project. And later, she bails on it, as we heard up top. Later, the crew rolls out. John comes to get Andrea, and she says she wants to skip it. And he can't take a hint and is very solicitous of her and her health. Her outfit, as I have in the notes, is the worst thing in the world. Please see in the visual aids.
Oh, no.
It's really bad.
Choke on it, Sarah.
Sorry. Choked on some Brandon-related bile there. Yeah, it's terrible. Is this the sad matador?
Yeah. Or? Yes, it's not good. So Brandon and Kelly and Andrea make peace, I guess, somehow. It doesn't matter. He does not deserve it, as usual. And then Kelly comes back into the Blaze office to get her chemistry book, and she and Andrea have a conversation that Andrea, the jerk mope, really does not deserve from Kelly in clip 22.
What's the matter? Why didn't you go with them?
Couldn't be that much of a hypocrite. I mean, who am I to try to educate people about safer sex when I've never...
You're probably much better off.
Easy for you to say. You could have any guy you want.
No, I can't.
Name one guy you ever wanted who turned you down.
Brandon Walsh.
Brandon?
Yeah. Last year at the spring dance. He told me he thinks of me like a sister. You're still really stuck on him, aren't you?
Yes. Why is that?
Yeah, why?
Because we always want what we can't have.
Well, at least you've had something.
Andrea, wait just a second. When I was a freshman, I threw myself at a senior who pushed me into a bush and never talked to me again. For the next year and a half, I spent all my time trying to live up to that reputation. And now, even though I've changed, I never know whether a guy asks me out because he likes me or because he thinks I'm easy.
I'm sorry, that's terrible.
That's not that bad.
So don't sit here feeling sorry for yourself. You're not missing out on anything you can't do later on.
Me? Don't wait too long.
I can never go back.
Too bad we just can't meet in the middle.
I think we already have.
To your point, Sarah, this is the Kelly that we know, who's, you know, not a weird prude and can actually talk about this stuff. So it's even more out of character for how she acts the rest of the episode.
Yeah. And this is where they sort of start really trying to push the narrative that she used to be this, like, whatever, conflicted good time girl, which is like, I don't really ever get that sense of her. A and B at the slumber party, like, okay, he didn't bring a blanket. We didn't push her into a bush either. Like, why is this getting worse and worse with every retelling?
I don't know.
Like, by the time she tells it a fourth time, he'll have tried to decapitate her and then there was a goat involved. Like, you know what? Nobody's first time was that awesome, with a few exceptions, but they don't disprove the rule. Like, just, I don't know, whatever. I know it's a teen soap, but.
Right.
Like, we're watching all of these in a row.
Yeah.
Help us out here.
Anyway, so after that, Audrey feels a little better. She goes out in the hall and John is there. He also didn't go on this thing. She asks why. He tells her a little bit into clip 23.
I guess I just don't feel like part of the gang.
Is it Brandon?
No, I like Brandon. Everybody does.
Oh, do they?
Nope.
I just cut it off there because it's funny. He basically explains that Andrea is his in, so if she wasn't going, he didn't feel like he was in the gang. He elaborates in clip 24.
It's like what I wrote in that essay. Just because you have four hooves doesn't mean you have to follow the herd.
What essay was that?
The one you didn't want to read.
Is that the one about feeling like the last version on Earth?
Yeah.
You wrote that?
Yeah.
Look, if I were to go to West Hollywood to be with the others, would you go with me?
Well, sure.
And if I wanted to go to the movies afterwards, would you take me?
I thought you'd never ask.
And they never saw him again? I think this might be his last episode for real.
I'm glad that he pronounced it Cares one last time, just in case he gets airlocked. Fluff mullet.
Also,
did
it have to be West Hollywood, really? Show, come on.
Seriously.
But also, I really, again, speaking of scenes that I wish were in this episode that aren't, would really love to see a group of gay gentlemen in West Hollywood come across this scene of a bunch of high school students from Beverly Hills trying to educate them about safer sex and see how that would go. Because I bet it was not great for the kids, but probably pretty entertaining for me. I'll just imagine. Anyway, then David is over at Donna's to watch the MTV special. She brings in the pizza that she's just ordered, and he insists on paying her back for it. And when he does, pulls out his wallet, a condom falls out. She and her French manicure pick it up, and she asks about it, and it gets super awkward in this long clip, 25.
What's this?
I have other kinds if you don't like that one.
Oh, ew. Nathan, you want one piece or two?
Maybe we should work up an appetite first.
wait. I'm beginning to think you weren't kidding about...
Oh, why would I be kidding? It's like you said, if you're in a pool, you gotta swim.
Wait a second. I'm over here on the chaise lounge.
What?
I don't intend to sleep with you.
Oh, it's too soon. I can see that.
No, I'm not going to do that with anybody.
You mean ever?
Well, with my husband, of course. I mean, I'm not entering a convent or anything, for God's sake.
Wait a second. What about all that stuff you said at the parents' meeting?
Well, I just don't want kids to get sick or worse because their parents have their heads stuck in the sand. I mean, AIDS is not the only sexually transmitted disease. There's lots of others. For instance...
I know.
Thank you, David.
I don't have any of those, I swear.
I know, I believe you. It's just, right now, for me, life is complicated enough without getting involved in a sexual relationship.
So I guess driving to Vegas is out of the question.
I hope you're not too upset.
No, I'm not really. I'm actually kind of relieved.
So, what'll it be? A pepperoni or cheese?
Pepperoni.
I get it.
Definitely.
Pepperoni.
Because they're super friends.
Oh, God. I would like to know what in Donna's life is so complicated that she couldn't add sex to it. Like, you suck at school. You don't have a job. Just bone David. Who cares?
You don't play a sport.
Yeah. You don't work out. You have a note. We learned that last time. I guess doing her hair takes a lot of time.
She's just going to have sex out of boredom? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
Nothing going on? Might as well bone this guy?
Isn't that why everyone does it? Come on,
guys.
What's on TV? Nothing. All right.
They had so
Let's
many
get those pants off.
Fewer channels
NCIS
then, too.
LA. Strip.
All right, let's wrap this shit up. Kelly's on the phone when Jackie comes in and says the following in our final clip.
Kelly? I want you to promise me that you will never, ever have unprotected sex, not even once.
What are you talking about? What does it matter?
I'm pregnant.
And Kelly's the father. Just kidding. She's just pregnant.
Hey, at least she can pronounce it properly.
Yeah.
Dear actors everywhere, pregnant, mm-hmm. pregnant. Mm-hmm. If you pronounce it pregnant, stop acting. Quit it. Can't stand it.
And so that's how everyone learned like 700 different valuable lessons about sex this time.
That we already knew from previous episodes.
It's never a bad idea to get a refresher, this show thinks. So let's wrap things up with our most valuable player for the episode.
Whoops. Yay.
I mean, with all due respect to Sheila Manners' jacket at the first school board meeting. Oh, boy.
May I, while you're thinking.
Please, yes.
May I step in?
Yes.
Dr. Mel Silver.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Dad jokes. His yep. boys can swim. And he like towered over that racquetball guy and was like screaming in his face about how kids should get to bone.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to give...
Mel Silver 2016.
I agree with you. I'm going to give it to Donna because standing up to Felice Martin cannot be easy, and she did it in front of a room full of people, and she was right.
That's an excellent choice as well.
All right. Least valuable player, Brandon.
I mean, really, Brandon?
No question. Such a paternalistic asshole and kept taking Felice's side in arguments. Don't be that guy. Brandon.
Yeah, never be that guy.
The worst. And then the Kim challenge.
Bad, and dangerous to know.
5 reasons from this episode that Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Number one, he'll rip a page out of your notebook without you asking.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and crumple it up before you even got a chance to enter it into your word processor and put mm-hmm. it on a 5-inch floppy. Ew. I just said... Five inch floppy.
Da, 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 da.
He will not. he will not have a sense of civic duty when a younger person comes to him for sex advice, which it is incumbent upon him to give. I feel.
But I mean, not to David, but yes, your point is taken. What else?
Well, we can switch over to the Brandon challenge.
No. You can't.
No,
can't?
We'll,
no
we'll
you can't combine
out.
Them
we'll
for 5 things.
Out.
All right.
You start this fucking challenge. You end it.
His refusal to kiss and tell might lead to him dying anonymous and alone. I don't know.
And also, okay, number five.
What are we up to, Dave?
That was four.
That was four.
He implies that somehow if Brenda publishes this sex diary in The Blaze, which a lot of parents read, it will be bad for his dad in prison. Because he's like, I really want to keep my personal life very personal right now. And so he's, I don't know, making big reaches with his girlfriend.
Dad have to be moved to like AdSeg because his son is getting it in? That's ridiculous.
I don't know. I have no idea. That was
tough. Oh my God. Okay, well, that was yet another sex episode of Again With This. Next time, 14 minutes of farce involving boring old grown-ups.
Wait, 14 minutes of farts? Minutes. I can't wait. Did you just say 14 minutes of farts?
No.
Now I did, yes. 14 minutes of poots are stretched out over 46 minutes as Jackie blah 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 horsies. If you want to see the visual aids from that and all the other episodes of Again With This, please visit us at previously.tv. You can also follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. You can follow me at Tomato Nation. You can follow our fine farty producer, Glark, at Glark. Or you could also call him Dave. That's what we sometimes like to do. And then there's Tara. She's at Tara Ariano.
Hi.
See you next time.
Hi. You know what to do after the beeparoni.
Oh, I'm sorry!
That was a shambolic affair on all counts, mostly me.